Hey guys, I hope you're doing well today. Since starting the Tokyo Lens podcast, the probably single most downloaded episode that I've ever done is one called Your First Day in Japan, A Guide. And after doing that episode, I got a few requests for today's episode and thought we could all use a little bit of a break and some forward thinking. And as some of the stuff that we talk about today has some overlap with a few of the upcoming at-home show episodes, I thought it might be nice to introduce the next four guests in the at-home show and maybe, just maybe, hide a little bit of a secret or two within this episode. So without further ado, let's roll that intro music and get this episode started. Welcome to the Tokyo Lens podcast. And as always, if you are a regular listener, welcome back. It has been far too long since I have just said that. I missed it. I hope you are doing well today. And if you are from the planet Earth, you will know that recently the world has kind of turned itself completely upside down. If you're not from the planet Earth, welcome. We're happy to have you. Please be kind and understand that current events do not represent the best of humanity. And while right now it seems like it's completely impossible to even fathom beginning to plan a trip, sometimes you just need hope. Sometimes you just need something to look forward to. And the planning process can build a lot of excitement. Even if it just feels like fantasy, it gives you something to potentially turn into reality. Now, this episode is meant to overlap with a lot of other content that either exists here in the podcast or that's coming up, so that if you want to go deeper on any one of these subtopics, there are entire episodes or videos about it for you to explore. So, on the topic of planning a trip to Japan. Now, every country being different, I'm not going to touch on things like the airlines and what planes you should take and how to get cheap flights, because to be completely honest, we have no idea how any of that is going to be going. But we are going to focus on some of the basics. One of the things that I want to start with, once you're in Tokyo, obviously, is where to stay. And this is a discussion that I have really enjoyed having lately. The discussion of where to stay is probably one of the most interesting discussions that you can have outside of something like, for example, food. For the reason that there are, it feels so weird just to be like, there are so many options. Of course, there are so many options. Let's assume, for example, that you are staying in Tokyo, that Tokyo is going to be your base of operations. Now, there's been a really big discussion between me and a couple people around me lately about, is it better to stay in an area like Shinjuku or is it better to stay in an area like Ueno? I know people that are very, very partial to a space like Shinjuku. It's got the east side, it's got the west side. They're very different. There are parks nearby. They feel there's so much benefit to it. They love Shinjuku Station. I myself am not a fan. I would avoid that area like the plague if I could. I'm more partial to an area like Ueno. I absolutely love the Ueno area because whether you are coming from Narita or Haneda, there's pretty easy access to it, especially if you're coming from Narita. There's all these different trains that come into it, as well as everything that's around there. You've got Asakusa and Akihabara both within walking distance. You've got the park right there. You can go check out the park first thing in the morning, late at night, whenever you want. There's the Ameyoko Market. There are countless hidden shrines, back streets. There are little narrow alleyways. There is so much exploration to be done in that area. And more than anything, there is variety. You have the city. You can tell just from me talking about it how much I love it. And we're going to loop back to that because there are other people I know who are like, nope, I always come in through Haneda. For me, I really want to be staying in, you know, the Shinagawa area because it is easy access to the airport. Airport is the word I was looking for there, but a lot of these things come down to A, what is your trip based around? B, what kind of budget do you have? And C, what kind of things do you value or want to experience? Now, one of the reasons that I recommend Ueno personally so much is because I like to experience Tokyo outside of those train hours. I love to be able to explore after last train. I love to be able to explore before the sun comes up or first thing in the morning, because this is when the city is completely mine. There's no people around. I don't have to fight crowds. I can get the photos. I can do the exploration and everything like that. But if you are more of like a daytime person and you want to be right in the thick of it, that might not be the best place for you. It might be. Ueno also gives you the opportunity to travel all the way down to Kanagawa or go up north to places like Tochigi and Sendai super easy. I love the access it gives in terms of transportation. But if that's not the kind of stuff you're looking for, there are so many other, like, for example, did you know the area of Nippori is not only a transportation hub that allows you to get quick access to the trains that take you to and from Narita Airport, but it is also home to basically the yarn knitting fabric town of Tokyo. The entire district is just dedicated to fabric and knitting and sewing and all of that. So if you're coming to Japan for that stuff, obviously that's going to be where you... There are people I know who swear by staying in Tokyo. And one of the reasons that I wanted to bring this up at the very beginning of the podcast episode is because it really holds true. The same for Japan as for Tokyo. Tokyo has... Everybody can have their own Tokyo, is the main point. If you want Tokyo to be the Shibuya experience, the neon lights, the late night drinking and ramen and everything like that, Shibuya, Shinjuku, all of that is yours. If you want it to be an area of mystical temples and maybe not all that mystical. They feel mystical at first, I'm not going to lie. Like I've been here well over a decade and I still have not lost the love for them. But if that is your jam, then you're going to want to go for a more Shitamachi or Backstreet area. If you are really focused on just being able to get easy access to the airport because you don't want the trouble and you're more than willing to travel throughout the day, a place like Shinagawa or something like that might even be better for you. There are no wrong answers. So when looking at where you want to stay, I always recommend people to consider, what is your budget? What is your trip about, and what are you looking at getting out of the area that you're staying? Is it just going to be a place that you sleep at night and absolutely nothing else? Is the location really going to be that important for you? It is for me because I like to explore outside of the areas that trains are available. Maybe that is not the case for you. If you're not an early riser and you know you're going to be waking up, say 9 a.m., going to bed by 10, 11 p.m., then you're good. You can pick pretty much anywhere. If you want to travel all over the country, you might even want to be closer to something like Tokyo Station or perhaps Shinjuku, places that will allow you to get trains all over the place. Like if you're going to be using Tokyo as a base to use your JR pass to travel all over the place, you might as well be somewhere that you have quick and easy access to the Shinkansen or bullet train lines. If you're planning on going north a lot, Ueno would be a great place because a lot of those Shinkansen start there. If you're planning on going west or south a lot more, Tokyo, Shinagawa, those would be great places. Heck, if you wanted to, you could probably even base yourself out of a place like Yokohama. But branching off of what we were just talking about, one of the biggest things that I like to encourage people when they're planning out their trips is to consider, what are you coming for? What are you hoping to gain out of your trip to Japan? Well, what is your goal of visiting here? What do you want to see? What do you want to do? With the amazing resources we have out there, everything from blogs to YouTube videos to this, that, and the next thing, at some point it genuinely can be information overload when it comes to figuring out what to do on your trip. I can't count the number of times that I will get a message from somebody that says, hey, can you give me some suggestions for things to do on my trip? And my base response to that is absolutely no, I can't, because I don't know what you're here for. And that is a really big deal. I can't stress that enough. Like, are you a foodie? Are you here to explore the food side of things? Do you want to go to places like Osaka? Do you want to hit all these street food spots? Do you want to do the Harajukus and the Shitamachi, the festival foods and all that? Is that what you're here for? Is food a major part of your trip? If so, start planning around that. Find out what areas have those things. Are you here more for the experience side of things? Are there museums and different classes or experiences, things that you want to do and go to? Do you want to have the opportunity to maybe go view the sumo stables in the morning, hanging out in the area of Ryogoku? That's a great thing to do as well, and not a terrible place to stay, honestly. It's got the river right there. It's got the it's got that yellow, I can't remember the line. Anyways, it's the Chuo-Sobu line. There we go. Pretty sure that's it. It'll connect you right through to Akihabara and down to Shinjuku and everything. And one of the things I love about the Ryogoku area, aside from the fact that it is like a 10-minute walk down the road from my beloved Asakusa and has a beautiful garden area that you can hang out in there, is if you hit it at the right time, you can be there and just see sumo just walking around the streets, doing the grocery shopping on a bicycle. I absolutely love it. Or are you coming for the adventure side of things? Do you have all these little trips out of Tokyo planned, all these places that you want to go? Are you going to need to be somewhere that you are mobile at a transportation hub that allows you to get around? Do you want to go to places like the Ghibli Museum and everything like that? That's another thing that I do want to mention. If you have these things that you want to do, these events that you want to attend, places, museums that you want to go, I cannot recommend strongly enough to do your research on those. While general travel, I kind of feel you can do a kind of impromptu, just go out, have an adventure, get lost. That's a great thing to do in Japan. More often than not, these different events or museums, such on and so forth, will be closed on days that you're just totally not expecting them to be closed on. You'll go to rock up to this museum and it's a Tuesday and it's just, nope, we're not open on Tuesdays, and you've just gone all the way out for that. Or places like the Ghibli Museum, where you really have to try hard to get your tickets far in advance. It's probably not something you're just going to rock up to Japan and be like, you know what, gonna grab me some Ghibli tickets. No, it's not gonna work that way. So for everything from museums to events and everything, planning is required. More often than not, you're gonna have to plan for the season that those things will be. Why do I keep saying that? I feel like I've said those really weird, like those, like really weirdly, like four times today. You're gonna have to plan for when those things will be. And potentially where they'll be. Like, if we go back to the sumo tournament, it bounces around. It's not always in Tokyo. And I know a really big question that always comes up, and we've passed it, we're out of season for this, but I do want to address the topic of sakura. If you are not sure when to book your ticket and you're looking like a year out and you see the forecast there and you're like, should I try to book for that time? Should I try and book earlier than that time? Should I try and book later? I would almost always recommend booking a week to two earlier than you think you need to. One of my main reasons for this is that there's another type of sakura that blossoms much earlier and sometimes takes over entire parks. So while the main type of sakura is forecasted to open up around that time, if you show up early and you're outside of that, you may still have the opportunity to catch another type. And it's not too uncommon for the sakura to open up earlier than they're forecasted anyway. So if you're rolling the dice and trying to come here for sakura season and you've got a very short window and don't know whether you should come early or late, I personally would highly recommend early. And on the note of how much time you would need for a trip to Japan, honestly, just as much as you can. Really, there's never going to be enough time. That's to the majority of people I have met who have had the opportunity to travel to Japan. There's always a second trip or third trip or fourth trip in the plans. You kind of do what you can on that first one. As we've talked about in previous pieces of content, I would highly aim for building some juxtaposition in your trip between major spots like Tokyo and Kyoto and getting out to some more countryside and unknown spots. But a big part of this is what type of transportation do you plan on using? We talked before in great detail about whether you do or don't need a JR pass. If you want to jump over to any one of those, explore the topic a little bit deeper. I think the JR pass, if you're going to be doing lots of traveling, using the bullet trains especially, is a spectacular value. If you plan on spending a whole bunch of time in one spot like Tokyo or Kyoto, it may not be as much value to you. It's pretty quick and easy math. But there's also the option of going all out and renting a car. And some areas really, really open up to you when you have access to them via car. Areas we've talked about before, like northern Japan, especially spots like Hokkaido, or even going down a little further into spaces like Shikoku. So we've taken a look at so far everything from when you're coming to where you're going to stay. We're taking a look at everything from budgets. Also, be prepared to walk a lot. I know it feels like such an obvious thing to say. And if you've been here, you're like, you're definitely nodding your head right now going, yep, you're going to be walking a lot. You're going to be walking way more than you expect. I've done an entire video on some of the best apps you can use to get around, whether it be by foot or by train. But one of the greatest recommendations that I personally can give in this section is to rent a bicycle. I love exploring the city by bicycle. If you're not used to riding a bicycle, I recommend one of the power assist or cycle assist, electric assist, whatever you want to call them. They kind of help pedal. So when you're like going up hills and whatnot, it doesn't kill you, because some areas of Tokyo are ripe with hills. Otherwise, if you're an experienced cycler and you're pretty comfortable and confident, you can pretty much just rent anything. They also have these little Docomo rental cycles spread throughout the city. Maybe they might not be Docomo in the future. I don't know. They're little red cycles spread throughout the city. They've been up for a couple of years now. I think you can rent them for about 1,500 yen for the day. There are places that you can rent cycles for cheaper, and a lot of hotels or hostels will also have cycle rentals available. In fact, I tell people that if you are going out to Kyoto, you can definitely do the majority of Kyoto in a single day by the bus. I have been there for years, but the last time I think I got a bus pass for something like 500 to 700 yen. But renting a bicycle and exploring Kyoto and really feeling the size of the city for yourself is incredible as well. You'll be surprised, truly surprised, at just how small a city like Tokyo or Kyoto is when you just explore it by bicycle or by foot. Everything is so interconnected. It's very dense, so it feels huge when you're going by train because you're passing by all these buildings. But it is just, you will find so many things, so much discovery by being on a bicycle. I can't push it enough. If you physically have the ability and the confidence to rent a bicycle and explore a space like Tokyo or Kyoto or pretty much any other city, there is an area in the upper west side of Shikoku called Imabari, and not too far from there is the Shimanami Kaido, a beautiful set of islands connected by all these bridges. You can traverse the entire thing by bicycle. I highly recommend that as well. I'm pushing the bicycle thing pretty hard today. Obviously, weather dependent. If you're coming in February or the middle of the rainy season, probably not as much of an option for you. That being said, we've done the Wi-Fi versus SIM card thing about 1,000 times. That is up on the YouTube channel. I recommend the Wi-Fi, obviously, especially if you're traveling with more than one person. It's an affordable option. I'll link a video in the description of this podcast in case you want to know more. I feel like this is a pretty condensed start of an outline to how to plan that trip to Japan. And as so much of it overlaps with the topics that we are covering today with prepping for that next trip or even just imagining that next trip, I wanted to take this opportunity to start introducing the next couple people that we are going to have on the At Home show right here on the Tokyo Lens podcast, starting with the person who has been kind enough to do pretty much the base for all of the artwork. If you've seen any of the artwork, any of the intro roll-ins or little title cards for the podcast, all of that was designed by a fellow adventurer, explorer, photographer, and artist named Suru Denise. And in our episode, I'm gonna let Denise introduce our episode. All right, Denise, what did we cover?
Oh, we talked a little bit about kind of what it's like to be a freelance artist, traveling Japan, where I get my inspiration from, how anime inspired me, and like all these like weird little hidden places that we found all over Japan.
We went pretty deep on the topic of all the like weird little hidden backstreet exploration and all the plans we're making. But you know what? I guess for anything else, I'll just have to listen to the episode. We cover some really great areas to explore in that episode with Denise. It'll be one of the first episodes to come up, including some very Ghibli-esque spots that most people don't even go to. They just overlook it. It's almost too beautiful, and they're just like, oh, that's not the place for me, and they wander right on by. Another guest that I'm very excited to have on the show from right here in Tokyo, sitting down, talking very much about everything from food to, it's Emma. It's Tokidoki Traveler Emma. I'm going to let her take it from here.
Yeah, so we just covered things all the way from, you know, plants and taking care of them to interior decoration in a renter home. And then we just talked about food, Japanese food, Brisbane, Australian, Japanese food, all that jazz. It was so good. I'm so hungry now.
We definitely opened up a Pandora's box on the food topic. I did not expect us to go that. You can always learn a little something from everyone around you when it comes to food in Japan.
Definitely.
So, yeah, that was excellent. Well, before we jump back into that, I'm trying to stop myself right now from getting back into the food topic. So we'll just leave this as is, and we will talk to you in a couple of days.
Okay.
Honestly, a really fun episode. We kind of got carried away. Even after the episode finished, we ended up talking about food and plants just forever. But the at-home show, especially in the sense of all the adventure and how to start and kick off an adventure, wouldn't be the same without sitting down with Victor from Frame of Travel. So I'm going to have Victor tell you a little bit about our episode.
Well, we went over a wide range of topics, but for the majority, one of the biggest one is how to get started on an adventure here in Japan. Yeah. We also talked about possible future adventures in the works, mm-hmm. as well as some tips and tricks on where to go check out some really cool photography spots and some PC tips, whether you're going to build or buy pre-built.
Yeah. That last one was just kind of squeezed in there. Mm-hmm. It was a massive episode. I think I'm very excited for the adventure that we basically planned out through this episode and to make it happen. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
The edit of the Victor episode took absolutely forever. We were recording for something like 2 hours, and I was like, there is no way that a 2 hour episode is going to fly. This is just, no, not doing it. We're going to trim this down a little bit, and almost had the exact same struggle with the next and for now final episode that I'm going to be announcing of the At Home Show. And that is a very chill, relaxed, honestly, just kicking back at home feel episode that we do down in Fukuoka with Rachel in June. All right, guys. So what would you say we covered in our episode together?
Oh, it was a long chat. We talked about the panels that we would have given this year, what we've talked about in the past, what June's interests are outside of YouTube, what else he would have wanted to do. As a job.
I had no idea that June had so many potential future alternate careers. There's all these like alternate universe Junes that I see in my head now doing these different things.
Well, I can say whatever. It's just my hypothetical thoughts.
Now, as with all of the other At Home Show episodes that we've done up until now, obviously, there's going to be full video versions available for anybody who is interested in coming and hanging out over on Patreon. We have a secret Instagram with live streams and a Discord server for us and everything like that. It's honestly a lot of fun. But there's one more thing that I wanted to tell you about the At Home Show, and that it's, I got a couple requests from people to see if we could maybe put together some form of mug for the At Home Show. I talked to Denise. Denise and I put something together, and I'm happy to announce that now we have At Home Show mugs. If that's something that you're interested in, it's linked in the description. If you like the design, check it out. But I'm actually really interested at this point in your trips. So I think what I'd love to do, absolutely love to do, is a little bit of an interactive back and forth here in the podcast. I'd love for you to share a little bit about your dream trip to Japan with me. I'd love to have an image of what is an amazing trip in Japan to you. If it's short and simple, you could type it all in a tweet and just tweet it to me. If it's a little longer, a little more detailed, maybe type it out in a note in your phone, screenshot it, and then either tweet it to me or tag me in a shot in your Instagram or something like that. I would honestly love to know, because you guys, you already know what mine is. I love the adventure. I love the after dark and before sunrise stuff. I love the exploration, the shrines, the temples. All of that is really my jam. But what is your jam? What interests you? What would your dream trip to Japan be? Don't hold back. Definitely put those together. Shoot them off to me. I'm going to do my best to respond to every single one that I get from now for, honestly, as long as I can. You might be listening to this within a couple days or weeks of me releasing it, or you might be listening to this, who knows, a year, 2 years, even more down the road from now. Do not be shy. It doesn't matter when it is. I am genuinely curious and would love to know what your dream trip to Japan would be. I guess with that being said, we can start wrapping up this episode. This episode, more than anything, is meant to be that starting point, the basic super guide on beginning to plan your next trip to Japan. There's definitely stuff that I have missed in this, so do not be afraid to hit me up and share your thoughts and ideas with me. I cannot wait to hear from you guys. The next set of At Home Show episodes are just around the corner. In fact, the next episode is going to be an episode of the At Home Show. So thank you guys so much for joining me for today's podcast. And you know, I will talk to you again real soon.